You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the third and final hour of Miller and Moulton along the network. The 90-minute bonus hour for the 239 awaits an hour from now. Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Our poll question, NBA-centric today. Don't worry, hockey fans. We'll have an NHL poll question later on in the week. But the NBA playoffs get underway tomorrow with the play-ins because the regular season ended yesterday. Hockey still has one or two games left in their season, depending on which team you root for. So just take a deep breath. We're getting there. But we're asking your level of interest in the NBA playoffs. From I'm all in to... not interested at all.
In fact, we're going to ask the same exact question about the NHL playoffs.
Yep.
Same wording, same answers.
Yep.
And I'll be curious of which gets more votes, because we have a bigger hockey audience in some markets that we're in than NBA, and there's no arguments.
Uh-huh.
But the NBA is a far more popular sport, and it's not close.
Uh-huh. Right. So curious how many votes and also what the percentage is in terms of levels of interest. And both Florida teams are in the NBA playoffs and in the NHL playoffs. So we got that going for us, which is nice.
How about the Orlando Magic getting a series that they can win?
Yeah, they really can. Now the NHL recedes. NBA does not. So it's kind of like, you know, the NBA is very much like the NCAA tournament. You get an upset, all of a sudden, your side opens up. You know, like last year when the Heat upset Milwaukee. 1-8. Who'd the Heat play? They played the 5 seed, the Knicks, in the second round. Because, you know, winner of 1-8 plays the winner of 4-5. They in hockey, if that had happened, who would the Heat have played in the next round? They would have played the Celtics.
Which do you think there should be, by the way? Do you think they should reseed? I like them not reseeding. I like when there's an upset, but it's not the best way, obviously, to ensure that your title game gets the best teams in it.
Correct. And that's the – as if I'm running a league, see, I want to give my regular season as much weight as possible. And also by reseeding, what do? You allow your better teams to face what? The weaker teams as many times as possible. So, in theory, then again, you could argue last year because the Heat are, you know, the exception to the rule. And that's why, you know, do you know what you're going to get from the Heat beginning Wednesday in Philadelphia?
Don't have a clue. Don't have a clue.
I mean, all of a sudden, if Jimmy Butler goes all Jimmy Butler, who can't they beat?
And who would be surprised if he did?
Right. Now, I think for the first time, Jimmy Butler's showing a little age. I think he's 34. He's got a balky knee, and I think he showed both this year. But then again, it's the spring. You know, I wish Trent was here because what is it? It's January, February, Izzo. Well, you could argue in the last 4 years, you know, it's fall, winter, Butler. I mean, in the last 4 seasons, they've gone to 3 conference finals, 2 NBA finals. I mean, Jimmy Butler's been amazing in 3 of the last 4 springs. Amazing. So... anyway, that's the NBA. One other NBA note, and this happens all over the place, usually in minor league promotions, but they're doing it now in the majors. So did you see the
Houston Clipper game? Well, Houston and the Clippers, right?
Yeah. And the Clippers had nothing to play for. Houston wanted the win to get to 500. They didn't want to finish with a losing record, but for the most part, they were playing because the schedule made them play. And So they got some big reserve player in for the Clippers. I don't even know his name. It's late in the game, and apparently, if in Houston, was it in Houston or L.A.?
It was in L.A. No, it was in L.A. Because it was okay. the opposing team, and Boban is the player, whoever the hell that is.
So anyway, if the opposing player misses both free throws, we get we get chicken, right?
Free chicken.
Right.
If the opposition misses two free throws in a row.
So he missed the first free throw.
And Boban the crowd Marjanovic. Hell of a name. We finally got the Boban Marjanovic.
Marjanovic?
Okay, there you go.
Boban Marjanovic.
All right.
So Marjanovic, because the crowd starts getting fired up. They do this at Purdue also. When I was broadcasting the one college basketball game this year, every time a Jacksonville player missed the first free throw, all of a sudden the crowd gets very excited. I think it was a local place. You got a free sundae. I don't know if it was McDonald's or Dairy Queen or whatever, but you got a free sundae.
Ice cream?
I know.
Wow.
I know. So all of a sudden, Mackey Arena, 14-6-78, it's getting all fired up. Here they are winning by 35 points. We got a big free throw here, okay? This is a money shot, so to speak. So this Marjanovic guy, he realized what's going on. Crowd's going crazy. He kind of looks at him like, all right, I'll take care of you. I got you. And he clearly intentionally misses the free throw. I mean, it hits the side of the rim. He didn't try to make it. It was obvious.
No, he points to the crowd as he missed it.
Okay, kind of like, I got you. I took care of you. You make sure you speak well. Reminded me of that scene in Bull Durham when Costner tells the hitter what's coming because he's tired of Lelouch there shaking him off. And he says, and when you speak of me, speak well. And that's what I thought of. I thought Marjanovic was saying to the crowd, hey, who's your guy? Who took care of you? Anybody else here taking care of you? No. Boban took care of you. Just remember that.
He wasn't worried about what his personal props were on DraftKings. I can tell you
exactly.
That much.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of which, it's an interesting idea. And I don't say that lightly because it's coming from, wait for it, the NCAA. I know what I just said, and I'm going to stand by it. In light of this issue with the Toronto Raptors player, in which it looks as if he was in on the fix in terms of some of his individual game prop bets, Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA, wants no prop bets to be allowed on college games. He understands I can't do anything about UNLV plus 13.5. He gets that. But he wants no prop betting allowed on college players in college sports. I got to admit, if I was running the NCAA,
I think it's admirable, David. I do. I don't think it'll happen because I don't think Vegas really gives a damn what Baker thinks here.
I understand. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know. Is this? I don't know if this is something that Congress can actually pass. Not that they would, but
I don't think that they could. I really don't.
And let me ask you this. I mean, because this, see, I don't know how much of the gambling that's done. Because, like, I'm not a prop bet guy. I know a lot of people are. And you gamble. And we gamble as a show. We have a little account, and we throw 2-3 bets out there, you know, every day. Just for the heck of it. All right? And we don't do many prop bets, do we?
No, we do none.
Okay. Now, Trent does prop
bets. Trent loves himself a prop bet.
Right.
Especially when he can get a boost.
Right. And then a little sprinkle.
Right.
But And I don't know. I don't think an NBA, an NFL, an NHL, or a Major League Baseball commissioner would ever go as far as the head of the NCAA. But, I mean, what's the one thing that could take down your league, Mark?
Oh, thinking that the games are not on the up and up.
Right.
I mean, that's the biggest fear of all of these leagues.
Right. They want the money that comes with gambling. They want the increased ratings that comes from gambling, because if people bet on the game, they're more likely to follow it. That's been proven over time. Listen, the first thing when it was called Twitter and now X, believe me, Twitter/X has helped ratings. When all of a sudden people start going, man, are you watching this game? It's amazing. You see a spike in the ratings. And I'm wondering if, first off, do you think Charlie Baker and the NCAA could actually come to an agreement with the gambling world and go, listen, because there are times, Mark, where they'll take a game off the board because of irregular bets. They'll go, no, we're not taking any more bets on this game. In fact, this game's null and void.
David, if we're still betting college baseball games for as little as people watch college baseball, do you really think that they have a shot of getting prop bets off for basketball, football, or anything else? In theory, I understand what he's doing, and it makes sense. I just don't think the powers that be in the gambling world are going to give him the time of day on this. I would, if I'm running a sports book and I saw that, I'd look at the room and go, that's cute.
Well, of course you're not going to be inclined to do it because it's going to cost you money.
Correct.
But I'm just, Charlie Baker could then say, we could go back to how it used to be where you couldn't bet on college sports. I mean, I can go to Congress with that one too. I mean, I'm trying to not even meet you halfway here, because I'm assuming more money is bet on the games than are bet on props.
I would think it's 100-1. I really do.
But, I'm just curious how far this goes, and is this something that people actually would go, you know what? NCAA is making sense here. I can support them on this. Now, I still want them to be abolished and go away. But until they do, I could support them on this.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. So CBS promoted this for like 3 weeks. And I don't know if this has mass appeal nationally, but in the Northeast, and a lot of people from the Northeast have moved to Florida. So along the East Coast, you think Billy Joel in middle of the country out West is as big a deal as he is in the Northeast and in Florida?
You're probably asking the wrong guy, because I was a huge Billy Joel fan my entire life. So yes would be my answer.
Okay.
But I might be the wrong guy, because I really like Billy Joel.
So now I know you stayed up late on Saturday and watched Saturday Night Live, but we had an early show today, so I'm curious, did you stay up and watch CBS taped a Billy Joel concert at Madison Square Garden? Billy Joel had a monthly date for 10 years at Madison Square Garden. He sold out over 100 shows. His last show at the Garden this month, I don't know if it's already taken place or it's going to take place in a couple days, but his run at the Garden every month, he had a monthly date at the Garden. It ends this month. And so they taped his 100th consecutive sold out show, and they made it a CBS special. And they promoted the heck out of it.
Yes,
for
they
about
did.
For 3 weeks, all through yep. the NCAA tournament and even the Masters. They promoted it hard. Did you watch it?
I did not. Okay. I've seen Billy Joel in concert, so watching a TV concert doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
And Billy Joel, believe it or not, when he was younger, was a maniac on stage.
He was.
Ran around. He'd climb the light stanchions and hang upside down and sing. He was a hell of a performer.
Mm-hmm.
On top of having a great catalog of music.
Right. Now he's a 70-something playing the piano.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now Sonny in our Twitch chat room watched it and loved it. Thought it was cool. Okay. You're in the minority, Sonny, and here's why. So the Masters ran long. By the way, sidebar, man was play slow this year. Wow. Now, I know it's windy and what have you, but, I mean, six-hour rounds for threesomes. I mean, 440 rounds for twosomes? I mean, come on, guys. Honestly. When is this going to be an issue on the PGA Tour? When are they going to... I mean, the Masters actually put a few groups on the clock.
That doesn't happen too often at Augusta. Of all the places, you don't hear of that very often there.
So anyway, so the Masters ran long. You know, you got to do the whole Butler Cabin thing. I don't know why CBS thinks they're going to sign off at 7 o'clock. They never sign off at 7 o'clock. I mean, the leaders are teeing off at 2:45. You really think they're going to play in less than 4 hours? We're going to do Butler Cabin and be off the air at 7? Of course you're running long. CBS scheduled 60 minutes. This just in, it's a 60-minute show. And they scheduled their new hit drama, Tracker. It's a drama. It's 60 minutes. Okay. So then the Billy Joel concert. So obviously this concert's going to be late. It's not going to start at 9. It's going to start at 9:20, 9:30. I think the Masters went to like 7:42 or even longer. Yeah. Mark, apparently on the fly, they edited the concert. They took away his entrance. There was no entrance. All of a sudden, the concert started. He's at the piano. He's playing.
Okay.
All right.
Cut a minute and a half there. Nothing wrong with that.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, they got commercials and they're trying. So apparently they ended the show midway through Piano Man. Because CBS as a network decided that the Eastern and Central time zone affiliates needed to go to local news at 11:30. Eastern, 10:30 Central. He's literally 3 minutes into Piano Man. And they cut away. And that's it. It was over. It was done.
Now, I didn't see this. I don't think you did either. Or maybe you did. What you're telling me, then, is that they played Allentown and cut Piano Man short.
I don't know if they played Allentown. I don't.
He
I
plays
did not,
it every damn show, and I'm not sure why. Because the song sucks.
Okay, but remember, they edited the concert because Billy Joel, with commercials, I mean, you know, you don't, Billy Joel plays for more than an hour and 20 minutes. He plays twice that long. So they were going to edit the concert anyway. My hope is Allentown didn't make the cut.
Mine as well, for all those that were watching.
But to review, they decided on the fly, well, we need to cut out. Well, let's cut out here. Well, that's midway through Piano Man. I don't know what to tell you, man. Late local news. We got to get to it.
Sing me a song or the Piano Man or more on weather. They went with B.
And so the clip that's making, you know, waves on X is, I think it's CBS in New York, Channel 2. And they cut away to, you know, they're teasing, you know, come on up, watch the late local news. And it had something to do with Trump. So you went from Billy Joel midway through the Piano Man to coming up on our late local news, you know, Donald Trump goes on trial tomorrow in New York. You know, duh, 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 duh. And they never went back to it. And it was a network decision. West Coast, Mountain and West, they were fine. East and Central time zones. Oh, well, concert's over. Good night, everybody. Now, first off, how many concerts do you see on network television anymore?
None.
None.
This was that was the thing about this to me is that on network television.
Correct.
Because Network. HBO, for the longest time, you know, they'll do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. HBO had a long run of doing concerts in the 80s and 90s. I still have the app. I have the Max app. Right. They don't really show concerts. This isn't something that's on television normally.
No, this is not an award show.
You know, Disney Plus has the Taylor Swift show, but there are not a lot of concerts out there. You go to YouTube for those and watch them illegally like everybody else.
You know, this is not one of the 7 country music award shows that are on throughout the year. You know, never mind all the other music award shows. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And they promoted this hard.
Yes, they did.
I mean, you could tell the people that were running CBS are like, oh, you grew up listening to Billy Joel, didn't you guys? This is a big deal to you guys. Where'd you tape them? In New York. Where are you going to run it? Ah, okay. That's a big deal. You know, before this network gets sold, we're going to jam in this Billy Joel concert. Got it.
Yeah, someone came up with this idea, sold this idea, got this idea through.
Right. And then somebody made the executive decision, oh, we got to get off at 11:30. Why? Like, why not run to 11:40, 11:42, 11:50? Who cares?
11:34. Let the damn song end, David.
Right. Just let Piano Man go and then go to break. I mean, Paul is a real estate novelist for good, you know. I mean, does Davey stay in the Navy for life? I need to know. But anyway, this was a network decision. So the first thing that happens, you know, we've gone through this. If you're living in Fort Myers or Lake City or what have you, you think it's your local affiliate. So you're calling up, leaving the first off, and then the calls are going through the switchboard straight into the newsroom. No one's working. You know, there's one, everybody's on set ready to do the news or in the control room. There's one person sitting in the newsroom answering the phones. Every phone in the room is ringing. People screaming and yelling, what are you doing? At only about 150 affiliates in the Eastern and Central time zones.
Now I want to find out how many calls they got in the markets we're in. Did they really honk people off, you know?
Yes, totally. Yep. Sing us a song, you're a piano man. I'm sorry, time for your late local news. And John, how about our first look at weather?
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Until we're out of here along the network. The Diamond District bonus hour is 1 hour away. So, all in all, disappointing Masters, okay Masters, pretty good Masters. I mean, it wasn't a great Masters. You know, you didn't have drama in the last 90 minutes of it. You know, Scheffler was great. I mean, he's fourth youngest to have 2 green jackets. Jack, Tiger, and Seve, the only 3 to have 2 in the closet before him.
Pretty good company right there.
Yeah, that'll work. I mean, combine those 3 have won 13 of those suckers.
It was okay to good to me. I enjoyed the wind on Friday, if you know what I mean. It was fun to watch them struggle for a day, but they had the tees so far back on Friday and Saturday. It was tough for guys to make up any ground. There were not a lot of red numbers out there. And I was hoping Saturday that maybe someone would shoot a number early when the winds were a little calmer and give you the impression that, hey, there's a number to be shot out here today. No one really did, David.
You could tell, and this they like to do this at a U.S. Open also, you can tell the difference that hard greens make. It's really difficult to, you know, to play for the bounce and then what kind of bounce. Am I going to get a big bounce? Am I going to get a really big bounce? And remember, with those greens, if you don't get the bounce you're planning on, okay, you could roll back off the hole. In some cases, you can roll back off the hole into the water. And then if it bounces over, so when the greens were that hard, Mark, and clearly they were hard even before the winds dried them out, you're like, man, a lot of pins here that it's tough to get within 15 feet of.
And not just tough to get within 15 feet of. You and I are both old enough to remember Crenshaw making long putts. Seemingly no one, you know, Scheffler made a bomb for Eagle.
On Saturday.
But there weren't a lot of bombs made. There were a lot of chip-ins on Thursday and Friday. There weren't a lot of bombs made. And one of the things that's great about Augusta is seeing someone make a bomb.
I thought also there were some pin placements. It's like, are you guys trying to find new pin placements? Like, where they put the pin on 17 on Saturday, yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's like on a slope. There were two birdies there all day. Come on. It's a 420-yard hole. I mean, seriously, only two birdies all day. It's because the break in around the hole. It's like that one miniature golf hole. In which you're like, wow, you don't even know if I can make a 18-inch putt on this. It just, there were a few pins in which I'm like, guys, I get it. You're worried they're going to tear it up, but come on now. I mean, listen, there were a few, and golfers that don't normally complain either. I mean, it's one thing if Patrick Reed starts complaining about something. Everybody just tunes it out. When Adam Scott starts talking about, I don't know, they may have to rethink some of this stuff. Whoa. And he's a past champion. Never mind one of the 10 nicest guys on tour. And I just, but they're terrified, Mark, that course, if it's not windy, is just going to get destroyed.
I did think there was a chance Morikawa's caddy might not be invited back because he did run back on that shot, and they specifically say no running on the ground. So when he paced off shot on 8, when he was to the right of the green there and he paced it off, he ran back. I was worried that he would be done for the week right then, that they would have to bring in another caddy.
Yes, I'm with you, that they would just show up and they would say, okay, sorry, Colin, you need somebody else to carry the bag for the final 10 holes.
But speaking
There's
of
no running here.
Speaking of caddies, did you see Tommy Fleetwood? You know, his caddy, his longtime caddy, was sick, couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
So he picked up a local Augusta caddy.
Had
his best finish ever at the Masters.
Yes. I'm really surprised, and we've talked about this, I'm surprised more guys don't. At that course, where local knowledge is so important, particularly on the greens, I am surprised more guys don't say to their regular caddy, I don't know what to tell you. Crenshaw took the same guy forever. Jack didn't always take his regular caddy to Augusta.
Well, for the longest time, they had to use the Augusta caddies.
Right. But even after you could bring your own caddy, he didn't always bring his guy.
I will say I've only done it once. Everybody should be able to play with the caddy once. With an actual walking, not a four caddy, an actual caddy. He's got your clubs, it's you and he for the round. Everybody that plays golf should have the privilege of doing that once in their life. Nothing better.
So Augusta's talking about in a couple years, by the way, they're going to go to the ball that doesn't go as far. They're going to go to the R&A and USGA golf ball. That means, by the way, 3 of the 4 majors minimum are going to play this golf ball that doesn't go as far. And Fred Ridley of the Masters said, we can't make this course any longer. We can't. And we don't want golf courses to be 8,000 plus yards. And right now, Augusta is planning on going with the R&A USGA golf ball. Now, the PGA Tour is not going to use that. And as of now, the PGA of America, i.e. the PGA Championship, they're not going to it. By the way, Mark, if you and I are running the PGA and the other 3 majors are playing the golf ball that doesn't go as far, then you and I are definitely not playing that ball. I want to stand out. I want the guys thrilled when they come to our tournament. I want them bombing. In fact, I'd put it in my promotion. I'd have John Daly grip it and rip it. The PGA, where the ball goes farther than anywhere else.
Does it amaze you at all that Scheffler, with the foot sweep, swings as well as he does coming out of the swing every time?
Yes.
In a day where the players are, the swings are a little more robotic than ever before, that more guys swing similarly than we've ever seen, he doesn't.
You mean because he looks like he's firing a slap shot from the point on a power play?
He does.
Yeah, and his balance is, that's what amazes me. And I'm like, wow. Your feet move that much, and you're rock solid.
Was he more likable, at least on a – did you watch till the end when he got – I mean, you know, he let out a few primal screams. He acted like he was happy to win.
Well,
he messed with his caddy a little bit. You know, I thought the whole scene on 18 was gave us a little bit more of him that we don't normally get.
Yeah, I mean, he's Pete Sampras. You know, there were times where Sampras smiled. You know, there was times when Sampras cracked a personality. But, I mean, you know, Pete was never Agassi. He was never Courier. You know, he wasn't even, you know, I mean, Edberg had more personality on the court, for goodness sakes, than Pete Sampras. I just think that's who Scottie Scheffler is. I mean, he's great. There's no denying it. He's clearly the best player in the world right now. You know, now it's funny how quickly the narrative is changed. You know, now it's what are the LIV golfers going to do? You know, much was made about by only playing 54 holes. Are they not as sharp? Remember, Rahm won the Masters, but he didn't win it playing for LIV. He won the Masters and 8 months later switched to LIV. Cam Smith, when he won the Open Championship, didn't win it as an LIV player, won it, and a month later went to LIV.
What, they have four in the top 10?
Yeah, or top 11. Yeah, they were all in the bottom, you know, as Jim Nantz made sure to point out. The top five all play on the PGA Tour. That's true. Four of the next six played on the LIV, but what Jim said was true. Once again, even working that into the Masters. Boom!
And when Augusta controls the broadcast, they still have no problem with him throwing a quick left-right at LIV Golf.
Oh, yeah, because clearly Augusta's not thrilled with it. Even though 13 guys are in, but seven of them are past champions.
And others qualify because they won majors that put them in.
Correct. But their qualifications are running out soon. Like DeChambeau, he won the 2020 U.S. Open. That gets him one more year of the majors.
Right. He got himself back in Augusta by his finish because top 12 in ties return next year. So he would have been.
Right. But he was in next year's anyway. But like some of these guys, their exemptions are going to run out here soon. And the Masters is on record as saying, well, I mean, if we think you're good enough and worthy, we'll invite you. But like this year, you know, Taylor Gooch has won like four LIV events in the last 12 months. And he was a top 30 player in the world before he went to the LIV. Was he at the Masters, Mark?
No.
No, he wasn't. No.
No, and this just in, the Masters was just fine without him.
Yeah, right. I mean, Augusta's going, really? We can't play this tournament because Taylor Gooch isn't here? I mean, seriously?
And CBS has determined that those guys don't move the needle because they very rarely, you know, they showed a lot of other players who were playing poorly and not showing LIV guys. They've made the conscious effort to say, we're not including you in our broadcast unless absolutely positively necessary, unless right. You're part of the narrative of this year's winner.
Like had to show DeChambeau. Okay.
Right.
You know, still kind of buried him on Sunday when he was on the fringe, but you know, had to show him obviously Saturday. He's in the final group leading most of the day. I mean, what are you going to do? But, yeah, like Cam Smith had a run where he made, what, three birdies and four holes or something like that. They did show him, you know, blasting out of the sand for eagle on two because he started 3-3 on Sunday. It was 3-under through two. Got to within 3 or 4 of the lead. Okay. Did you see Cam Smith the rest of the day?
No. Not really.
No. And he's got 3 top 6 finishes at Augusta now.
They did show him when he blew one way left on, I think, 15. Had to get down on his knees to hit it back to the fairway or whatever it was there.
Listen, I was impressed they showed Phil on 18 yesterday. I was. I'm like, huh, I'll be damned. Because they barely showed more than that of him last year when he finished T2. So at least, you know, they showed his approach and they showed his putt. And I went, huh, I'll be darned. I did notice they put a little package together for Tiger yesterday, never mentioned his score. That's when I went, oh, he must not have done well. So, of course, you know, had to race to the phone and go, huh, I'll be darned he's last.
Well, and that's where, you know, Shipley was talking about how gracious Tiger was and how they talked all the way around the course. That's because he's in last place.
Right.
Tiger didn't care. If Tiger cared, he wouldn't have said a word to you.
It was neat, though, on the range. He had Charlie, his 15-year-old son. Of course, I thought it was hysterical. It looked and sounded like Charlie was giving him swing advice. I'm like, what is going on here? I mean, there's respect for your kids and all, but, I mean, Mark, you know, we love our kids. You and I, we're good dads. Okay. We're pretty understanding dads. If we were Tiger Woods and our kid was giving us swing advice, how quickly would we go, I'm sorry, are you having an out of body experience?
I might hit him with the club, just the grip. You know, I might turn it over and just whack him on top of the head with the grip and say, enough already.
I mean, I don't say this very often to you, but do you know who I am? I mean, you know, how long does it take for it's like, listen, I know you're feeling your oats right now and all that, but.
You finished 15th in the junior event last week. I've won 15 majors. How about stepping off just a little bit?
I mean, you're only allowed here because of me, okay? I mean, you know, just take it easy there, big fella. So, all right, so the Masters has come and gone. It was okay. Hats off to Scheffler on a roll here. I don't know how much golf he's going to play between now and the PGA in all seriousness.
I don't know if we see him.
I don't think we will. And I'll be curious what his prep is going into the PGA. And, hey, let's be honest. The role he's on, I mean, I'd love for him to play well and have a chance because if he wins the PGA, he's got a real shot to run this table. Along the network, thanks for listening. Diamond District Bonus Hour is next.